Final Fantasy IX is over and has been for 23 years. But we are just getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. That's right, everybody. The Final Fantasy podcast is back. It's the feed that will never truly die. I am Brooklyn Zed, and I'm here this time with my good friend, my old co-host, Adam H., here to play Final Fantasy IX for the first time. Adam, how's it going?
It's going good. It's been... how long has it been, Zed? I feel like... I forget.
The torture actually. Of Crisis Core?
Since the torture of Crisis Core in the olden days. God, what a terrible game that was. Okay. we don't need to rehash that. There was like another part of Crisis Core. I think I played like half of it, and then I was like, truly, why am I doing this?
Wow.
And then I don't even know. Anyway, we're back. Final Fantasy IX. I don't know if this is going to be better or worse. Certainly going to be different than Crisis Core and Remake, which were kind of our last two. So there's some weird stuff going on. There's some weird, weird people, some weird vibes. There's a bunch of birds and animals all over the place. We're doing plays. We're playing mini games. We're jumping rope. We're maybe being slaves. It's a weird situation here in our first little, our first little thing. So I didn't play like a ton of the game. Over an hour though, I put into this little section here, of which you assured me, no, will not take over an hour. I finally hit the save point for where I'm able to like stop those freaking Moogle whatever Koopas, and it's like an hour 31 is where I ended at. And so, I guess in your defense, I was like multitasking quite heavily, and I was like watching football, and I had there was like other stuff happening last night, but it still took me a long time. It wasn't like I was dawdling around; like I was still like actively doing stuff, but the maps were confusing. It's just a lot.
I should explain up here at the top. I recently completed what I am officially calling my first playthrough of Final Fantasy IX a couple weeks ago. I had technically played this game back in probably 2014 or 15 before I was a gamer at all, before I'd played any Final Fantasies. My friend lent me his PlayStation.
Oh.
Full stop PlayStation,
like
no
PS1?
Numbers.
One,
just a PlayStation. It was the size of a portable DVD player. I don't know if you've ever even seen a portable DVD player.
All right. Let's take it easy here.
The era of the portable DVD player was brief because they existed, and then they put DVD players in cars, and then portable DVD players were kind of over.
Do you want? Not to like date myself at all here, but I like my early road trip days. We used to take it's like a little mini portable TV that had a VCR player, and we would strap that on top of a crate with like bungee cords, and that would be like our on-road entertainment. So
that's impressive.
So that we I'm all the way back to the VCR days where I just watched Toy Story 1 on repeat literally all day every day. It's my favorite movie ever. So I'm familiar with the DVD era. Now that being said, I don't own any DVDs. Like I currently do not have the capability of playing a DVD in my house. Like I would have to go somewhere else or get some kind of equipment to play a DVD.
Yeah, my PS4 is my DVD player.
Yeah, there you go.
In my
okay.
life.
Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll get a PlayStation something.
But. Yeah, so I played this game, eight or 9 years ago with no context for Final Fantasy whatsoever. It was my friend's favorite game. He lent it to me. He was like, "You have to play this." So I did. I have a suspicion, and we'll find out shortly if the reason this took you so long is the reason I got stuck when I first played it. But I gave you the time estimate of probably half an hour to get to the brief point where we stopped today, based on my playthrough this time, which took me an hour. And that is because I spent 20 plus minutes perfecting the sword fight minigame. Because
that
I
is the
can't help myself.
Perfect. Okay, because you had mentioned the whole minigame element, and we'll certainly get to this as we go through. There were two minigames, though, right, throughout this first little section. You could do the jumping rope one and then the sword fight as well. I guess I don't know if it's like a minigame or whatever kind of vernacular you want to call it. I guess they maybe seem a little different, but you could stand there and jump rope for a hot minute if you wanted to. Really, really perfecting the ropes a la Jump In. Was that the movie? Jump. Remember the jump rope movie? Oh my gosh. All right. Now I have to look this up because this was a huge thing for me in middle school because they got us all individual jump ropes. Yeah. It's Jump In 2007. a family slash sport movie currently streaming on Disney Plus.
Sport. Yeah. Weirdly enough, my senior year of high school, I was not watching Jump In, the family sport jump rope movie.
Listen, 10-year-old Adam was really into this in like fourth grade or whatever this was for me. Keke Palmer and Corbin Bleu. Honestly, I'm going to go watch this movie later today.
It's on Disney Plus because Corbin Bleu is in it.
Yeah, I think Keke Palmer is also a like Disney,
a Disney person.
I think so, right? She's like really big on TikTok right now. I feel like I see a lot of her TikToks popping off. She Aquila and the Bee, of course. Yeah, is Nickelodeon Disney the same thing? I don't think so, because she was True Jackson VP.
Extreme competitors, pre-streaming back in the 90s.
Who owns Nickelodeon? Where's Nickelodeon these days?
Paramount, I think.
Really?
Because SpongeBob was on Paramount Mountain back when they launched Paramount Plus.
We are way off the rails here. Yeah. Anyway, go watch. Actually, you know what? Go watch Aquila and the Bee instead of Jump In, because I feel like that's a much better movie. But that's only streaming on the Roku channel. So if you don't, if you have the Roku channel, watch Aquila and the Bee. If you don't,
you can have the Roku channel. It's free. You don't have to have Roku to have the Roku channel.
Oh, I don't know.
And if you have the Roku channel, go watch Weird, starring Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al, the quasi biopic. It is unbelievable.
Wait, was that that's a movie? I think that was in theaters, right? Did you see it?
I never saw that. Earlier this year, and I was not prepared for a movie called Weird. I was not prepared for how weird it was going to be. you're in for a treat if you go watch Weird. But we're here to talk about Final Fantasy IX, released by Squaresoft in the year of our Lord, I mean Jeff, 2000. And you start off playing as Zidane.
Well, you do, or you rename it as Pia, because I just assumed that it was the main thing.
Great.
I did post that in the Final Fantasy channel in the Discord last night when I was playing, of just like the official kickoff. Little did I know I was going to have to name a gaggle of characters, and I just kind of assumed there would be one main character. That was incorrect, so whatever. Pia is whoever that original person is, and then everyone else, I just kept their regular name. So hopefully that makes it easy enough. There was a point, though, where I really thought about renaming everyone and just confusing absolutely everyone who's listening to this, and myself included, of just like, I have no idea who's who. But then
biggest reason I don't rename characters on my first playthroughs of games, so that I know who I'm talking about when I'm talking to people.
Yeah.
But I have definitely joked, and I think I will do this, that for my 2-year Twitch anniversary, I'm going to do another Final Fantasy VII stream, which is what I did last year, but it's going to be Oops All Comrades, and I'm going to rename all the characters to Comrades.
There you go.
And we'll just have a party of comrades off to save the planet.
Yeah. That would be really interesting. And not confusing whatsoever. Although I feel like in at least 7, you'll be able to tell the difference between someone who has a gun for a hand and someone, you know, I feel like there's more.
They can't be talking about comrade.
No, not comrade. Final Fantasy IX. I knew nothing about this game going in, knew literally nothing, just assumed that it was part of the Final Fantasy universe where we would see our good old trusty companions that we've come to know and love. No, it's barely, it's all different people. It's fine, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. I don't know why they don't just have the same characters in these games, like let us, you know, hang out with the characters, but maybe there'll be some people that we are familiar with later on. I don't know. Instead, we're left with Pia, who is, we're popping off over there. I'm just going to go through this, like, front to back here. I do have a full page of notes because there was some ridiculous stuff that was going on. And we get our opening credits where, of course, we have a crying princess in a castle over a waterfall. No context whatsoever. And then we just are done with that. That's our opening credits. Congratulations, Final Fantasy IX. Way to kick this off in a very boring, tropey way that gives me no information. But I guess we had the vibes. There's going to be a princess. Well done. And then we have Fae Cloud in the dark, who is Pia / Zidane or whatever. It doesn't even
matter.
Zidane
is his name. I renamed him, of course, Zidane.
Okay, that's pretty good. I guess if I would have pronounced that in my head, we could have gotten there, but it's Pia, whatever. I also called him Fae Cloud because we have the hair situation happening. And it's like, did this happen? This would have happened after, obviously, 7, because 9 comes after 7. And that's math. Yeah. Okay. And we are all alone in the dark here, or maybe not all alone. And we have to light this.
Not even math. That's counting.
Yeah, that's counting. Yeah, that's just, you know, that's just math. Math. Counting is math. Tell me, there's no way. Counting is absolutely math. No?
Okay, counting is like pre-math. you can count without knowing how to do math, but you can't do math without knowing how to count. And I believe that is like the rule of the transitive property or something, which is also math.
Okay.
You're the one with a math degree, not me.
I don't have a math degree. I wish I had a math degree. I'd probably, well, whatever. Analytics.
Counting, whatever it is.
No, it's not. Business analytics is not math. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you what. Pia does not have a degree in freaking lighting candles because it takes us a million years to like just walk over the thing. And then we have to also the controls on the keyboard kind of suck for this. And it's like it's very it's similar to Seven and to the other games, except like it's just not like as obvious. I don't know. Like when I'm walking up to stuff, we get like sometimes exclamation points and there's sometimes question marks. And I'm like walking over and I'm like, do I click? Do I hit enter? Do I hit V? Do I hit C? I'm still trying to figure that out, but like I'm bad at games, so that should not come as a surprise to anyone there. But we're working through it. We're able to light the candle. Strong candle. This candle freaking illuminates the entire room perfectly, like an overhead light. This is an absolute torch going on here.
And then we get classic theater moment of the second you light a light on stage, the whole stage lights up.
Yeah, it just seems like we could have just turned on a light here because not one other time during this portion of the game are we going to have lighting issues, but right now, whatever, we have to figure out how to light the candle. And then our best friends appear, or goons is what I call them, our three goons appear, and I'm not going to lie to you, I only got the names of two of them, despite the fact that all three of them were with us the whole time. And the reason is I didn't write it down at first because one of the names is blank.
And correct.
I'm over here thinking this is just a placeholder until I write in the name. I'm just like, I don't need to remember this. This is, they're just like, blank tells you to do this. And then eventually I get to decide what goes in the blank because that's how blanks work. I might not have a math degree, but that's just normal. You put a blank somewhere, boom, you're going to put a name. No, his name is blank. Whatever. Then we have Cinna or Chinna. I have no idea. Yeah. However you want to pronounce
Cinna.
It.
I think Cinna. I've always said Cinna.
Yeah, that might just be the Hunger Games inside of me doing wanting Cinna there. I don't know. Obviously, this came well and truly before Hunger Games. But and then we have another one. I don't know who it is. Doesn't even really matter.
Marcus.
Marcus. What a that's a dumb name for the third one here. Blank, Cinna, and Marcus. Okay.
A little bit all over the board in terms of like types of names. There's like a very typical name, a kind of interesting name, and then not a name.
Marcus. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? Okay. So we're like meeting up in front of the candle. The room is totally lit. I have a couple conceptual questions of like, if we're in the main room and it was so dark that we had to light a candle, why were they off in a side room and how did they get in there without also lighting, like, why did I light the candle? Why was it
theater
my responsibility?
People are good at walking around in the dark, Adam.
No, but like, I'm also a theater person. Pia is a theater person. That's as right. Proven later, I don't understand why it was my responsibility to light the candle. Like, can we not just turn the light on when we enter the room? Blank. Like, come on. What are we doing here? It's probably fucking Marcus's fault. Okay. Anyway, we're here all together with our goon squad. We'll have a name in just a second, but before we do that, we have to fight Blue Eyes White Dragon is who comes storming in the door, just like, I don't even know. What a random fight. This was, hey, if you want to learn the mechanics of how to fight in this game, here is how we are going to show you. And it's not my favorite. You know, it's not as dynamic or as interesting as Remake, so maybe we were a little spoiled there. And also simultaneously somehow not as good as Seven, but here we are. It's just our ATB bar. We're filling up. We go, we hit attack, and that's it. I haven't learned how to do anything else yet. Maybe there are spells at some point.
Yeah.
There was also
you
a defend
haven't
button.
Really hit a real fight yet.
No.
These are all sort of like stage fights. They're like narrative, but they're not. You're not in like true danger with any of the fights that you've done up to the point you've played in the game.
Yeah.
And I will say, in contrast to the other games that you've played up to this point, this job employs a class system. So you will have like a knight, and you will have a white mage, and you will have a summoner, and you will have a black mage, and they will each have their specific things that they can do. And in contrast to Seven, where you can give anybody any materia and they can do anything, that is not the case here.
So I'm going to actually have to care about items and materia and who goes where and what happens there. Okay.
Well, you'll have to care about who has what kind of abilities depending on where okay. you are.
We'll get there. It
you
seems
have
like
some
a
flexibility in your party like you did in 7 where there will be times where you get to choose who yeah. you're running around with.
Yes, and it does seem at this point that at least everyone has kind of an attack function, just a basic like go hit them with something. So, or at least at the point of this fight, which was against our boss.
Yeah, like the leader of the theater troupe.
We're fighting
thief gang.
Uh-huh. The thief gang. Well, I'll just say we are Tantalus.
That's right.
Very, very
the infamous band of daring thieves.
Tantalizing is I don't know. We have there's some personalities in there, including our boss Baku, which, you know, I don't know. What an interesting name, Baku. And I just have to point this out because I am always on laugh watch of how are these characters laughing. Baku is a guahaha kind of guy. And so he loves the guahaha. There's a couple other laughs that we do see throughout, but that one really stood out to me as our, why did we fight our boss? What was this for besides to show us how to fight in this game?
I think he was just making a dramatic entrance and it was a mechanic to show you how to fight.
Yeah. But like okay, whatever. Very dramatic Baku, but whatever. We're Tantalus, we're thieves, and we are heading to Alexandria. The name of the city that we are going to. And I really do like this right at the beginning of establishing what our goal is, what our mission is. And he's like, our mission, he literally says it right now, our mission is to kidnap the heir to the throne, Princess Garnet. Garnet. We're kidnapping a princess. And so, boom, the opening title sequence comes back into play. The crying princess, we're kidnapping princess. Now, little bit of a like a question mark here. Why are we capturing the princess? I don't know. No clue. What are we going there? Is this just like a ploy? Is this a we're gonna sell her for ransom? Like, is this a like we want her? Baku is madly in love with Princess Garnet. I don't know. We have no idea what's going on here, but everyone seems on board. Zed, if I came to you and was like, our mission, us as thieves, is to go capture a princess. I mean, would you be on board as Tantalus is?
I mean, unlikely. Yeah. I just showed up to do some acting mm-hmm. and, you know, redistribute some wealth.
Now, what
I wasn't planning on getting into the kidnapping game.
Kidnapping could be a great way to redistribute some wealth. We ransom all of the rich, you know, I don't know what kind of hierarchy system that whatever
I think it's a monarchy they've got going on here.
We get some of the wealth of the monarchy, they get to keep the princess. We're not gonna kill the princess, like it's fine, we're just kidnapping, we're just borrowing, and then
it's
we get the money.
A little light kidnapping.
Well, we do, I mean, we really commit some crimes here. I love when a game opens up with a little bit of B&E, but that's, you know, that's just me. I don't know. I feel like this would be fun. A little jaunt around Alexandria to capture the princess. Good for us. Mm-hmm. And the way that we are going to do this, which I feel is honestly more indicative of us, of how we would do this, of how we would accomplish this task. They're putting on a play to distract everyone while they go kidnap the princess. And the play is, I want to be your canary.
Correct.
Now, when I first saw this, I really thought this was a joke. Like, I really thought, like, there's no way we're going to commit to this. Not the case. We commit to this more than I think I've ever committed to anything ever. like, truly, they just go so hard here. Okay. We'll get there. Because I do, like, I have the script of I Want to Be Your Canary pulled up, and I it's maybe too long to do a dramatic reading, but also maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll see.
I anyway. Think a time will come when we can do that, and it is not this podcast.
Oh, we're doing a separate I Want to Be Your Canary podcast? When is that happening? Just a little one-off canary podcast?
Imagine we pull our own Tantalus together and record it,
and we were
just drop it in the feed in all our free time.
Oh my god, this is how we steal the great Emily. We have this is how we're gonna do it. We have to distract Josh with this. I want to be your canary. This will work. I really think it'll work. Anyway, we get to Alexandria and we are greeted by Harold, who's a bird. And he's like, the stage is this way. You know, here you go. We also like run into people on the street. Like someone literally, this was a little confusing to me because we basically just get plowed over. And they're like, oh, look, a ticket. Here's your ticket to the play. And I'm like,
yeah, so we should say that now you're Vivi.
Yeah, no, that was confusing to me too. Cause like, who is this? I don't know who this is. This is
Vivi. Vivi's on my wall right behind me. As anybody who watches my Twitch stream knows, my partner bought me a print that has Vivi and a little Moogle on it that now sits behind me when I'm streaming.
Yes. But Vivi is not part of Tantalus.
No.
Okay, because this is where I got really confused, because they were like, oh, here's a ticket to the play, and like, here you go, we're walking on the street or whatever, here's your like your ticket. And I was like, I'm in the play. I am the play. What do you mean? Here's your ticket to the play. Like, I should be giving you a ticket to the play because I am performing in said play. What do you mean? And so this is a completely different person. Whatever. Wears a hat. Kind of looks like one of those things from Star Wars. I don't know what they actually are. I'm not a Star Wars person.
I'm not either. Can't help you.
Whoever, someone out there will get this. And you should really be proud of me for making a Star Wars reference, even though it was kind of a half reference because I didn't actually fully get there. But like I got there enough. I'm, you know, this is the sand people.
Looks like one of those things from Star Wars. Yeah, and I don't know what you're talking about.
It's like the sand people that drive like the big metal like mooses around the sand. And I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't even matter. They were in Mando recently, but. Whatever. It really, really does not matter. Because
you Adam's just out here to shill for Disney Plus, apparently.
No. I honestly, I didn't even watch the latest season of Mando, and I'm certainly not watching a show there or whatever it is. Although I do hear it's good. So go check out the PSR coverage of that, I guess. I'm pretty sure PSR's got podcasts. Anyway, we're here to talk about this. That it's been too long for us. It's been too long. I'm just off the rails. I have no idea what's going on here. This is just mayhem. Our ticket's fake. We have a freaking fake ticket. Someone has bamboozled us into a fake ticket. And the way that we know this is we are going up to the ticket counter. We're talking to the ticket guy. You know, give him the tickets. Like, hey, I'm trying to get into the play. Even though, again, in my mind, I'm like, I am the play. Like, what are we doing here? And he's like, oh, no. I've seen this so many times today. I hate this. It's a fake. And then this guy has the friggin' audacity to be like, I understand how you feel with this fake ticket. That's a direct line of dialogue. Is the ticket guy who's telling us the ticket's fake is like, I understand how you feel. No, you don't. What do you mean? You don't understand how we feel. You didn't just get plowed over by Ronnie and Johnny out there on the sidewalk to get a fake ticket here. You don't understand how I feel. You know nothing about me, ticket guy. But in consolation for having a fake ticket and not being able to see the play, he gives us some rando cards. And it's like, here you go. Here's a little bit of my card collection, because even though it's my job to sit here and take real tickets, I feel so bad for you. I am such an empath that I'm going to give you my property just because you have a fake ticket. I don't know. This is a weird situation. And I also never used the cards one time this whole playthrough. So I don't know. I have some cards now. They could be anything.
It'll continue to be an option.
Yeah. And he says, I need to go find what's his face. I didn't even write down the name. Who do I need to go find? Something sewer guy in the alley.
Rat kid?
No, but there's the other name for him. It was like, if you want to be able to learn the cards, go to this guy. I don't know. It doesn't even matter because I never did it. But let's get to the rat kid, because at this point I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And what am I supposed to find it? So I go over, there's like a little potion store situation with like not an alchemist, whatever he's called, synthesis maybe. And he and his wife, they're so excited to go to the play. She's like, oh my gosh, I haven't been happy in like 30 years, but now I am going to be happy going to this play. And so shout out to their marriage for being saved by my play. You're welcome.
Power of theater.
There's like an inn where someone literally runs down the stairs at full speed telling me to get out of their way the whole time. I thought that was really funny, and I went back in there a couple different times, but it was very enjoyable. Because it was like a hippopotamus person that was like, also there's a bunch of animal people here. I don't know if that like, I haven't seen that a lot in other Final Fantasy games, so that like, besides of course the talking dog, but That was like weird to me. I don't know. It didn't feel like in, I guess we've seen like bunny people in four, I don't know.
In 14. And in 14. I will say I'm playing 12 for the first time right now. And they have bunny people in 12.
Okay.
And actually lots of other races so of people.
Okay. So maybe it is more game. Normal. Was there a lot before this though? Because I don't remember like not any in seven.
Seven is all humans.
Besides a dog. Yeah.
Besides Red 13. Yeah.
Yeah. Doggo.
Lab rat dog.
Yes. Well, lab rat and we have rat kid here. As we're like going around, I'm like trying to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to do? And whatever.
Alleyway Jack.
Alleyway
I've
Jack.
I've got my playthrough running in the background so that I can sort of keep an eye on what we're talking about.
Well, it's about to
also,
head
this
off
guy's road, called yeah. Ticketmaster. This is the nicest Ticketmaster's ever been to anyone.
Yeah.
Truly. Pointy hat boy.
Yeah. Can we be mad at Ticketmaster for a second? The only reason I'm like really always. Mad at them recently is just because I didn't get picked for the Taylor Swift tickets in Indianapolis, which is like so close to me. That was the only thing. Like, we're so off track at this point. But the whole idea of like having to be selected for the opportunity to buy tickets, what are we doing here? How like yeah. what? That's so ridiculous. Like, if I want to buy tickets, just go buy a ticket.
I really thought Taylor Swift was going to take down the live ticket market monopoly. It looked oh, no. like that about a year ago, and now it does not seem like it's happening.
Instead, she just like totally fueled it, and now Ticketmaster has so much power over every single white woman between the ages of 18 and like 54.
And also you.
And me, yeah. Yeah, I have to freaking sign up and wait in a waiting list just to have the opportunity to give you more money to go, like, what?
Okay, if we start down the Ticketmaster rabbit hole, we will be here till next week.
Well, I have another rabbit hole to be stuck down because I'm over here meeting Rat Kid. And first of all, I get yelled at for running into a sign as I'm walking over there. Wasn't even my fault. I didn't do anything there. I just fell over. The sign was too low.
Pointy hat boy. Always falling over.
Freaking pointy hat boy. Who is this? This is Vivi. I did write that name down. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, we don't know his name yet. Right now, he's pointy hat boy.
He's just pointy hat boy. Yeah, whatever. So I run into the sign. I get the sign owner gets mad at me and then he walks away. And then Rat Kid comes over and he's like, hey, I have a deal for you. I'm going to let you into this play. Okay. That I have a fake ticket to. That sucks that I have a fake ticket, but I'm going to let you into this play, says Mr. Rat Kid. And in return, all you have to do is be my slave. Uh-huh. And it's at this point in the playthrough that I'm like, what is this? Where did this come from? This was so out of pocket. Like, truly, yeah. There was like nothing around here that I was just not expecting this whatsoever. And of course, like my options are like, yes, let's do it. No, I don't really want to. Or I think the other option was like, are you Alleyway Jack? And I almost picked that third one. I really should have. But I was like, no, I like don't want to be your son. Because yes. What else are you supposed to answer to a question like this? Yeah. I would like to give some words of wisdom to everyone listening to this podcast right now. Like, truly, if you're listening and anyone, and I really mean anyone in your life is like, hey, I'm going to do this thing for you or give you this thing. And in return, you could be my slave. Say no. Just say no to those situations because it's never good. It's just never good. There's nothing good that could ever come out of that situation. That being said, this was my downfall. Because I said yes. No, and then I wandered around for another 20 minutes.
Yep. That is like, exactly what happened to me when I did this the very first time. Until my friend everywhere. Who was sitting there with me, letting me make my own mistakes, eventually was like, okay, I'm just going to tell you, you have to go say yes to being his slave or you will be stuck here forever.
Because
the game lets you make choices, but they're fake choices.
They're fake choices. I had to say yes to this. I went down every single alleyway. I talked to every single person. Yeah. I freaking jump rope for like days over there. I had no idea what to do. I had no idea what was going on. And then it was when I went back down that alleyway a second time because it kind of reset like as I walked down and then the rat boy would appear again that I was like, okay, like this is like what has to happen. And I guess I said yes, but I didn't feel good about it. Like I did not love this. I don't think that this like, I don't know about holds up. Cause I don't know if, you know, it's a 2000 game. So it's like a long, long time ago. I would argue that even then maybe we pick like different terminology, word. Like, can we, assistant or like, There's other things, maybe it's a translation situation. I don't know.
It could be that. It could also be that they're kids. Like, this is Rat Kid and Pointy Hat Boy is 9.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
You'll get the little info when you're given the opportunity to name the characters. Mm. It'll show you their gender, their race, their age, and their dominant hand for whatever reason. Not that that impacts anything. And Vivi is 9. And it became, throughout my playthrough, anytime Vivi said something particularly, you know, profound or outrageous, I would follow it up with, I'm 9.
Oh my God. So whatever, we're gonna be a slave, I guess, for a little bit. And our first task, as after assuming this role, is to keep lookout because we're gonna steal a ladder. Now, I would make the argument that if someone totally just leaves their ladder out in the middle of an alleyway, that you could probably just take that. And I don't know if like there's stealing involved here, like maybe bring it back once you're done using it. But like, you know, if it's just out there and like this guy is precious about his ladder, maybe don't leave it out in the middle of an alleyway. Also, it doesn't even look good. Like the aesthetics are terrible. How's anyone gonna get into your sign shop if you have a ladder right in front of the door? Like, just irresponsible business ownership, in my opinion.
I feel like you're pretty right here.
Yeah. And it's also like not even a big ladder. Like it's just like a little, like it's easily carryable all throughout town. Anyway, I told him that no one was coming because I didn't see anyone coming, just, you know, because there was no one coming. And then it turns out there was someone coming, even though I didn't get to see anyone coming. And then I got mugged. I got freaking mugged what was it? 7 gil? 8? I don't even know.
It's
got
dangerous out here in these streets.
Alexandria, high crime city, I guess. Like this is
full of thieves.
Full of thieves, including us though, but I didn't steal anything from anyone. So I guess Vivi is
except
not
a ladder.
Yeah. Well, I didn't steal the ladder. That was the rat kid. The rat kid did it anyway. And then we have just a run around town. We're running on rooftops. This is like an Aladdin moment here where we're going from place to place. I'm terrified of heights. Vivi hates heights. I keep saying, but the point of view is going to be changing throughout the entire game, I guess. So like, whatever. I'm just going to say I for all of it, but I'm terrified of heights. And then Ratkid freaking owns me verbally whenever I'm trying to go across. He's like, oh, you're a little scared of those heights, you little baby, you little baby boy. I'm 9 years old. Of course I'm scared of those heights.
I'm 9.
We're riding on top of rooftops and we're jumping across these unstable things. Also, if there are already like wood connectors between these rooftops, why are we stealing a ladder? We could have just gone back, picked up one of those wooden things, put it on top and climbed up it. Why are we stealing rando ladders from people?
It does feel like the whole rooftop like network already exists and is used on a regular basis by the many thieves running about the city.
Yeah. This doesn't even make any sense to me either. Why are thieves using the rooftop? Like that's so visible. You could see it from up there, especially if what you're stealing is a ladder. Like it's just ridiculous. Anyway, we keep going. We also are introduced at this point to Koopos or Moogles who are saying Koopo, who address me as Koopo. I'm Koopo. You're Koopo. We Koopo.
You remember Moggy?
This is an remake.
The kid who was dressed up like a Moogle.
Yeah.
And is always saying Koopo. Yeah.
Okay. It's a funny word.
I've got a new materia for you, Koopo.
Yeah, I don't think there's... Oh, my God.
There's no materia in this game.
There's no... Thank God. Yeah.
There's no Chadley.
God bless. I also wrote this down. One of the lines... This is Puck, by the way. The name of Rat Kid is Puck, which honestly is just as bad of a name as Rat Kid. No offense to any Pucks who are listening.
I think that's a theater nod to Midsummer.
Yeah, but like still, we still have to trash names here. Also, is it bad that my first like reference of the name Puck that I thought of in my head was to the character on Glee? Like, is that
never seen it and refuse to talk about it?
Yeah, no, that's probably good. That's honestly a shockingly healthy choice. Anyway, Puck says to us, "Oh, are you afraid of heights?" Well, his advice, if you're afraid of heights, just pretend you're on the ground. Oh,
I mean that is child logic to a T.
Okay. Let me just pretend I'm on the ground real quick as I jump across these freaking rooftops. Screw you, Puck. Get out of here.
The only more useless thing he could say is dopey.
Don't. Afraid of heights? Well, just don't. Oh my God. Okay, so we eventually are getting into the castle. And our play begins, and we are no longer in Vivi. So, like, a little confused at, like, what's going on here. And so this won't be the last time that we changed perspectives. We get it again kind of at the very end, although I, like, barely wrote that down. We're, like, changing perspectives the whole time. So I think we're back to Pia at this point because we are the ones putting on the play. And we do this play, and the whole concept here is Princess Cornelia is torn from her lover Marcus, and then her father, whose name is Leo, which tracks that makes a lot of sense to me. Her father is Leo for sure. Like that's very accurate.
Leos are bad. Is that the problem?
I don't know about bad, but like a lot is the whole, you know, like anyway, her father Leo doesn't want her to go. And then like Marcus has beef with Leo and it's a whole thing. I like have the transcript pulled up here. It's like kind of long though. Like this play really goes on for a hot second. They do not like mince words whatsoever. And our whole group is in the play. The only thing that's a little confusing to me is that they use their real names. Like they have these costumes of the story, but then it's like their actual names.
Yeah, there's Leo in quotes and Cornelia in quotes. And yeah, Marcus.
Everyone else is just Marcus Blank and Cinna. Like I don't really understand.
Nobody said they were a good theater troupe.
It's not a good theater troupe. It's really, really not. Gosh, I feel like there has to be some kind of just like some kind of reading here. Maybe just the beginning as we go, or scene two really kind of pops.
That's where
that's where they hit their stride. And so Cornelia is do you want to play one of these roles then?
If you drop me the link, I can look at the script here.
I want to be your canary script from finalfantasy.fandom.com. This is the yes, wiki classic. Here. Yeah.
Classic resource.
Yeah. This is really good stuff here. Okay. Do you
want to do the Marcus and Cornelia scene?
Let's do the Marcus and Cornelia scene. This is scene two. Blank is also in there at the end. Okay. Do you want to be Cornelia or do you want to be Marcus?
Whatever you prefer.
What are you feeling? Okay. I'll be Cornelia. Okay, great. Marcus. And then we'll do like a little, you know.
A man clad in a black hooded cloak walks on stage. Cornelia approaches him.
Sweet Marcus, I fear I love thee more than I should.
Princess, wilt thou be happy, married to a lowly peasant such as I?
Prithee, call me princess no more. Marcus, wilt thou truly cherish, this is so extra, cherish me, the king's only daughter? Or is such a desire too dear to wish for? After our nuptials, shall I become no more than a puppet? A mindless puppet, never to laugh, never to cry. I wish to live my life under the sky. At times I shall laugh, at times cry. For no life is more insincere than that lived as a masquerade.
So much consideration thou hast given it, but worry not, they embrace. Cast away thy trappings of royalty, and I shall swaddle thee in a gown of pure love. Never again will I part from thee. Pray, my love, make me thy canary to keep forever in the cage of thy bosom. Let us embark on the first ship tomorrow, before dawn can tell of our elopement.
All my fortunes at thy foot I lay, and I shall follow thee throughout the world.
No cloud, no squall shall hinder us. Marcus turns around and walks off stage.
Oh, love is the sweetest joy and the wildest woe. All I wish is to be by my sweet Marcus's side.
All right. I think that gives people a pretty solid sense of the level of language they are working with in this play.
It is this level the whole time. And you have to like really scroll on this thing to get to the bottom. Like this is.
Yeah, I voice acted the whole thing on the stream, Adam. It was a lot.
It's a lot. There's a lot happening. I'm going to have to go watch it because this is especially like when King Leo shows up. There's like five scenes. There's maybe even more. It's so long. It's
substantial.
And I like only really tracked like kind of what was happening tangentially. Like I really was not like laying on every word here. Like I didn't really, you know, it was whatever. Like I kind of got there. However, after this or during this kind of, as the princess is escaping, as we are doing our distraction, we're doing such a good job distracting. We have a little sword fight moment. We have a myself and I think it's Blank, right? Or is it Cinna? I don't even know.
It's Blank, yeah.
Blank. Myself and Blank.
Blank was wearing a belt around his head. Unclear.
Yeah, it was giving a little frat energy.
Looks like
energy,
he can't see.
Honest.
Who knows what's going on?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on here. Blank is kind of a weird dude. I mean, if you have a name like Blank, I guess, but.
Great hair, though.
You like the hair?
Yeah. The, is it the best big hair red hair the... sticking up? I love it.
Okay. Is that like the best hair of the group here?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Okay. I could see it. I don't know if I'm like completely sold.
I mean, Cinna's wearing a chef's hat, so we got no idea what's going on.
Well, but I kind of like this. I kind of like the chef's hat. Like, I feel like that, I want to know what he's cooking up, you know?
Zidane has this weird blonde, like not quite bob, and there's a little ponytail in the back, and it's not good.
Yes. It was giving like a little bit of cloud, but like not really.
And then Marcus, I think, has a bandana on. So the only like real hair we get is Blank's hair, and it's great.
Yeah. And you like it. Okay. That's good to know. I don't have any attractiveness rankings up to this point, just because we're not that far in the game, but we'll see if we get there. Okay. So we're doing our sword fight, and this was a lot. And so we are really doing it all out here. We are really doing our best. We are giving everything we have to this sword fight. We are really like putting ourselves on the line here. And we have to just press some buttons after Blank does like the initial move. We have to follow suit. And it is here where I say, why is Blank not following me? I have the directions. I have a vision for what this could be. I would like Blank to follow my lead. I don't understand why I have to follow his lead. Anyway, we have to press some buttons. And I'm pretty sure that I was only pressing two of the three correct buttons, because it was like C, V, and then there was like the play button. And I think I was hitting shift when I probably should have been hitting enter, or maybe I was hitting enter when I should, I don't know. Because my percentages for how many nobles I impressed were pretty pathetic, all things considered. It was pretty sad. And I don't know if it was like, I really need to like press this faster, because I didn't like miss any of the buttons, because there's just three buttons. Like, it's easy enough to click the right button, but maybe I just like wasn't fast enough, but I truly think I was just not hitting one of the buttons correctly. The highest I was able to get you, I did this two times, which is more times than you probably thought that I did it.
Yeah, I definitely thought you would do it once and move on with your
life.
Well,
the problem is the first time I got a 33 out of 100 nobles, and I was like, that's pretty sad. Like, this is not like great. I'm not going to do this 100 times, but like I can do better than 33. And then on my second time through, I got 47, and I was like, that's fine. Like, I'll live with 47 out of 100. Like, we probably could get better. I could do this more times, but like, who's got time for this? Like, I was already over an hour into the playthrough at this point. Not a save point in sight. Like, truly. Yeah.
Had like many conflicting feelings, because of course I want to do the sword fight right, and of course I want to do the mini game well, but I don't care at all about impressing nobles. So yeah. I had, you know, many feelings happening. On the Switch, you have all of the directional buttons and A, B, X, and Y. So you actually have a total of 8 buttons you may have to be pushing. And I didn't realize they were using the directional buttons. So I was pressing the corresponding letters for the directions for a while. So I would say the first half of my attempts, I wasn't even pressing half of the correct buttons. And then once I was, you have to hit every single one of them right in order to impress Queen Braun, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah. I did not impress Queen Braun at all. Yeah, I just got up to 47. I'm assuming you eventually got up to 100 and were able to do this fully. Yeah, okay. But it probably took you like
But as I told you, I spent over 20 minutes on this fight just listening to Vaya Flamenco, or whatever this song is called. Mike Edwards loves this song.
It was it was very like exciting. It was like it kind of felt like I was getting like margs and chips and queso somewhere. Like, I was really like out and about on town. Like, that was kind of what it was feeling like.
That sounds like a dream.
I would love to get margs and chips and queso out somewhere.
Sword fighting and then getting margs and chips and queso, a perfect evening.
Yeah, and if you get rid of the sword fighting, and then it's really a perfect evening. Unless it's like real sword fighting, that could be fun, but I don't know. This was very much like pretend. Could we, I mean, I know that you could pull this off set because this is like what you do as, yeah, as like a person, like you're able to actually accomplish this. Could, do you think that like you and I could do this fake sword fighting? Like, could we impress Queen Braun?
I mean, I could teach you. It depends on how fast you pick up choreography, but the choreography is not actually that
It hard. Wasn't that difficult. I just, I have to say, I cannot be the one that is like jumping up as you are like swinging the sword around. That would
I
have
also
to be
wouldn't
the
choreograph that many leg yeah. sweeps with broadswords, which is what they're fighting mm-hmm. with.
Yeah.
What about doing splits to the ground when you're ducking? Is that in your repertoire?
Not really. I mean, I can duck. Like, I can get pretty low. Like, I'm able to, like, bend the knees and the legs. Like, I can get low, but it's not going to be, like, it's not going to be horizontally. It's not, yeah. like, it's straight down. There's not going to be a lot of horizontal
These boys
movement.
Were doing some, like, drag queen splits to
it was
get
impressive.
Out of the way of these head cuts.
Yeah, well, I guess it wasn't that impressive. It was, like, 47% impressive. So, even though they were literally doing splits every 4 seconds. I uh-huh. think we could pull this off. Like, what percentage do you think we could get to? Could we, like, pull an 80?
I would say at least in the 70s, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. I would take that. Okay, we do the sword fight. It was just it was so much, and it was just so over the top. Great. Okay, let's see. Then we're done with Pia for the rest of the time that I'm playing through. We're also done with Vivi for the rest of the time that I am playing this time. So let's go to the final little piece here, which we didn't really get that far into because I saved basically as soon as
yeah,
I could, and so there's not a
stop.
Ton. But we kind of go upstairs. We're trying to steal the princess. We're trying to kidnap the princess. The princess is like hiding her face in like a big robe or something. I don't even know. And then we're like inspecting her face. Like, hey, let me see your face. Let me just take a look at your face real quick. It's very aggressive way to.
So she is wearing. I don't think you would know this, but this is like the generic white mage robe. Like if you play the earliest the very first Final Fantasy, where all of your sprites are just like generic class icons,
mm-hmm.
the white robe with like the red triangles on the front of the hood and on the like hemline, that's the white mage robe.
Okay, so she is a white mage is what we are being telegraphed at this point, potentially. Yeah. Okay.
Potentially.
Interesting. Okay. That'd be fun. I think I played a white mage in 14.
I think you did also. I think that's right. You were some kind of healer.
Well, I know I played all the different mages because I also tried red mage for a while. And then I think I did blue. I don't even know. It's been so long since I played 14. Should we get back into 14? I don't have time for this.
I might. Actually. I'm unemployed. I have time.
God, I would love to be unemployed one of these
Josh
days.
Josh really wants the People Play 14 and podcast about the story of 14 podcast.
Done. So, when is it happening? Let's go.
Okay, we'll talk about
it. I'm ready.
It. We'll see if we
yeah.
can make that happen.
I'm ready after nine once we get the problem. Okay, this is a little 14 moment here. The problem with 14, the story is so convoluted. It is so convoluted. There are a billion people and a billion quests, but I think it would be really fun to go through actually. So I'm very interested in that. The problem is I don't like a game where there's like a recurring subscription fee. That's the annoying part to me, that it's like I don't want to have to like pay per month. It's like keep playing that. Anyway, okay. We're almost done here. As we like stopping the princess absolutely barrels us over as she rushes down the stairs. Like we get plowed here and like spun around dizzy, even though we just put on a really impressive sword fight. So you know, whatever.
Well, she
princess.
Didn't see it because she was busy trying to escape.
She was busy trying to escape, which like I guess like perfect for us because we're trying to get her out of there. So I don't know how that's gonna go, but we'll see. And then we see some friggin' clowns. Zorn and
jester
Thorn.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Zorn?
Uh-huh.
Zorn? That's the name? Zorn and Thorn?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. And they're just like bopping around. They keep going in the wrong direction and they're like, oh, I know what direction I'm going in. Are you sure? No, yeah. I really don't like them, and I hope that we do not have them for too long, but whatever. Because they also like contribute nothing. They're just like out there, oh, where's the princess? Like she's gone and escaped. And then they go and tell
she's not in this game.
She's gone, whatever. And then they tell the king guy, whose name I did not write down. Presumably, is that Leo?
King guy?
Who do they tell? They go to
try and tell Queen Braun.
Oh, is that who it is? I thought it was a king.
And they get stopped by Steiner and Beatrix.
Be Okay.
Steiner is the knight.
Steiner's the guy that we play. Armor. Yeah, we're playing as Steiner kind of at this point on as we're like going through and investigating and trying to like, you know, go around and find the princess. And Steiner gets told, is it by Queen Braun? Is that who it is? That to go
the
find
big green
the
lady with the like blonde hair sticking out of the side, wearing kind of like a Viking helmet.
Yeah, it's possible. I thought there was a dude. So it, yeah. Whatever. It's fine. Steiner gets told by Queen Braun to go find the princess. I can't believe she's escaped. Oh no. Oh no. Terrible. And then basically Steiner just runs around and then we find a save point. We like, oh, well, I guess Steiner encounters some of the naked guards that we had taken out earlier because our supreme squad of Blank and Pia are out there roaming around in some smelly guard garb here. And so Steiner's like, why are you naked in this castle? Which, you know, also, why are there no clothes underneath the metal armor? Like, are
there definitely would be. Granted, are you, like, they're wearing like leotards, but there is clothing.
Like, there should There should be some clothing there. Although, I guess like that would explain why the armor is so smelly, and like why they're like, oh, this stinks.
Yeah, it's deeply unpleasant. It does not hold up under scrutiny at all.
No, I don't need any part of that. And so, I think Steiner is like sniffing right through it too. He's like, this is not like what's going on here. And then we find the save point. So that is like as far as I have gotten so far in Final Fantasy IX. I don't know if like that was a lot. It felt like, you know, an hour and a half is how long it took me or so. But we've been introduced to being like playing as three different characters. So we have Pia so far, we have Vivi, and then we have Steiner. I don't know where this goes. Like, obviously, we're going to be kidnapping the princess. Like, that's the general idea. The princess is also trying to escape. I think this could be really, really interesting if the whole game plays out over the course of, like, this one night. And we just keep going back and forth between different perspectives and, like, how to play that out. My guess is that that's not going to be what happens. But it'd be cool if it did. That'd be pretty cool. I'm definitely most invested in Pia at this point. I don't understand why Vivi is even in the game yet. So whatever, we'll get there. And then Steiner, I don't know if I love playing as like the head of the military guard here of the
the captain monarchy. Of the Pluto Knights.
Yeah, I don't know.
Looking around in his armor, clank, 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 clank.
Yeah, do we like Steiner?
The walls of the castle.
Is Steiner like a good? Do you like Steiner?
Is he?
Well, like at this point, like are we
at this point? Yeah. No, he's just a grumpy man.
He's just a grumpy man. Yeah, well, I've been there. That's, you know, it happens. But yeah, that's as far as I've gotten in Final Fantasy IX.
As we
point.
Finish up here, while we are still fresh off of talking about the lack of clothes under the knight's armor, I dropped a link in the chat for you to Zidane's page from the same Final Fantasy fandom wiki. Let's talk about Zidane's outfit real quick, because I cannot get over it.
What is going on here? Okay. Wow. So I'm just gonna go top to bottom is how we should also post this link. I mean, people probably know in the Discord.
They
we'll just, you know, go throughout this thing.
Zidane Tribal, by the way, his last name is Tribal. That never comes up.
I wonder like how that translation works. Like, I wonder if that's like a different. Yeah. I don't know.
Happy,
we'll see.
Happy almost Survivor 45 to all who celebrate starting next week.
Should I watch Survivor this year? This season's end. Is it going to be?
Yeah,
good?
Get in the draft, Adam. Get in the Discord draft.
I feel like I always do the draft and then I do bad, and then it's like I don't know. I'll pick four people just randomly and see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so top to bottom on this art here, it looks like the hair was photoshopped on, but then dragged too slightly down. Like, it feels like there's a bump it all over the scalp.
Is wow.
What happens.
Another thing I would not have expected you to have in your arsenal is knowing what a bump it is.
You know, everyone knows what a bump it is. Everyone knows. Those freaking commercials. Okay, and then there's a shoelace tied around the neck. That's a little weird. Okay, and then we have like a little, I don't even know what this is. Just like a top, like a jean jacket top, but then we're wearing like a white t-shirt underneath it, and it's like, what are we trying to hide here? It's like,
well,
a vest.
It's like it's like a white tank top, but with like a Victorian like frilly collar, and then there's like a blue, maybe denim, maybe not, vest over it, and then he's wearing what should be like a gun holster. Like a shoulder holster for a gun, but it's not. It's just straps.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we also have like blue gauntlets on the arms, which are huge. They're
gloves
huge.
With giant, giant cuffs.
Yeah.
That look like they should be the end of like sleeves of a pirate coat.
Yeah.
But there are no sleeves.
Like, they're so big. No, I do like that look. The sleeveless, that is good because we do have like some muscle in there. But yeah, we have
one
like
thing
giant
Final Fantasy shirt. Will do. They will put a protagonist in a turtleneck with no sleeves.
Yeah, no, we are not interested in sleeves here at all. We hate sleeves, famously. Okay, then we have a way too long belt that isn't really latched. It's just like kind of folded around and then just drooping. And then let's see here.
It's like a very piratey styled belt. Well, that's just like wrapped around and looped a couple of times, just hanging out.
I kind of want it to be darker though, is the only problem. Then we have a tail. Oh, we should mention the tail. I don't know what
Zidane
that means.
Has a tail.
Zidane has a tail. Pop off, Zidane. And then shoes that are roughly 14 sizes too big as we get down here. And it's like a half, it's like a, if a sneaker had a little bit of a lift and then also was a boot. That's like
skinny jeans into sort of pirate boots.
I think that the toe situation,
the toe caps, yeah.
The toe caps, I think definitively make this not pirate. I think you just want things to be pirate. I think is like
always.
Yeah, you're a big pirate person. You wouldn't catch these shoes on a pirate ship. There's no way.
No, but the like big open top with the folded over bit, that's very piratey. The top half of the boot half of the shoe is very piratey. And then the bottom half is like on the brink of wingtips. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is a weird
There's
look.
A lot going on. In
I don't
outfit.
Think I could pull this off. I'm like maybe you could pull this off.
I mean, is Zidane pulling this off?
No, I don't think so. That's the thing. Like, I don't even really think so. I really think that if you get rid of the gauntlets on the arms, then we're in a much better spot here.
Yeah, the gloves with the giant cuffs are inexcusable. They make no sense.
It's there's no utility, there's no style, there's no warmth,
cufflinks.
There's no it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, if we got rid of those, I think we're actually in a really good spot, but unfortunately those are just
maybe his
so prominent. Well, maybe I can forgive the shoes. I don't know. I famously don't even really like shoes. Like, I hate wearing shoes, but those
famously.
Are such famously. Anyway, that's this. Like maybe 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10. Like it's a really tough situation. But yeah, there you go. That's Zidane. Maybe next podcast we'll do another character. We'll go through all the looks one by one. Every podcast.
Yeah, I proposed in the chat that we should do an It's a Look podcast for the whole crew of Final Fantasy IX because we're gonna get. There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
for sure.
This is it's a lot.
A lot.
There you go. That's the first little bit of Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah,
I don't know how far we're going to be able to go. But.
That's where we're stopping at this point for today. For our plenty to chew on in this little kickoff that we did here. If I were a slightly better podcaster, I would have prepared where we should stop for next time.
Honestly, doing that during the podcast makes the most sense to me. We're just flying by the seat of our pants here, people. Okay, if you want more prepared stuff, this is not the podcast for you. This is full chaos. We don't know what's going on here. Can you imagine the one where we're doing all of the 14 story? I can barely keep track of this story. We're going to be, I mean, we would be so in the weeds there. It'd be
it's
really
tough.
Funny.
It's so sprawling, 14, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No,
that's
definitely
all
not.
I'll say.
Are people still playing 14? Maybe that's the one thing that I don't really know. Is there still a group that like plays?
I mean, certainly people are still playing 14.
Yes.
Are people playing 14? Not as much.
Not really. Okay.
Not
well.
As much.
Get back out there. Get into the world of Eorzea, right? Is that that's
yeah,
the
name? Eorzea. I truly am considering coming back. So if folks are interested in playing, let me know. It's always more fun to play with friends. And I would certainly be down. I have the time these days in a way I did not for quite a while. All right. I think where we will play through for next week. We'll finish Alexandria Castle.
Oh.
We'll do this. Yeah, let's say definitely through the Evil Forest.
Oh,
And then if you can do the Ice Cavern, I would say also do the Ice Cavern.
Okay, so through the Evil Forest is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see. It's hard for me to gauge off the top of my head how long that will take you.
Yeah.
When I had finished, let's see, I'm looking right now. When I had finished the Ice Cavern, I was 3 hours into my playthrough. And that's the first hour was the part that you played for today.
Okay.
So if you could manage what is maybe another 2 hours for next week, then you could get through the Ice Cavern, which I think would be doable.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see where we get through.
Yeah. We'll keep you posted in the Discord as to what's going on. You can hang out with us there by joining us at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can also join my Discord. Hit me up if you want to do that. Find me playing Final Fantasy currently 12 on Twitch at twitch.tv/hardrockhope. Adam, what do you have going on?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, PianoManAdam1, as well as over on One Indescribable Podcast. We just did Freaky Friday, the movie, and we're also doing some musical podcasts where Todd and I are pitching musicals to Lindy to watch, so go check that out as well. That's at 1CHG Podcast on Twitter. Doing Doctor Who with Kevin and Melissa. We are into really, really good stuff with the Matt Smith era. We just did The Time of Angels, and so we're going to be finishing up that two-parter this upcoming week. Also, the return of Sex Education has happened. One of my favorite shows. It is so ridiculously funny. And myself, Jess Sterling and Ariel are covering that also for post show recaps. So go check that out. We just released a podcast for the premiere and they'll be doing another podcast for the next couple of episodes as well. But all of the final season of Sex Education has dropped on Netflix. So go check that out as well. And then, you know, in the Final Fantasy channel on Discord, tell us who you want us to do their look next. We want to know who should we be talking about next in terms of their look. We just did Pia/Zidane/Zedane. Who should we do next? Vivi?
Yeah, let us know. We'll do an Issa look assessment each episode as we go through all of the characters here along the way. We will make plenty of friends and we can talk about them. Thank you all for listening this morning, afternoon, whatever time it is when this is hitting your feeds or your ears. Once again, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/postshowrecaps or just subscribe to this feed or other feeds at postshowrecaps.com/Final Fantasy. Share it with your friends if you're having a good time and you know some folks who like video games. Also, I will acknowledge, since we've been off for a little bit, that with the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes, SAG-AFTRA has authorized a strike for interactive media, which would mean video games, and they are voting on that strike this week. So by the time we next meet, we will know if video game folks are also on strike, and perhaps we will address what that means for the world of video games moving forward. But until then, stay safe out there in Alexandria or wherever you are, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.